It's good to be back with you folks. I was talking with Larry. It was Christmas time. I was here last Christmas. Enjoyed that so much. It was truly Christmas. If you don't believe in Christmas, you'd have believed in Christmas if you'd have been here last Christmas. It was just a good Christmas, wasn't it? Wish it was like that all the time. But it's a joy. It's a joy to be back with you. I count it a great delight to see you. It's good to see Don and Shelby. And I was telling someone before the service, you just feed me too well when I come down here. I tell you, I am so full. And somebody said, you all are going to breakfast again in the morning. I don't know if I can make it or not. I'm just so full. But the Lord helped me. I was thinking, if you want to turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 11, is where I'll be taking my text for a few minutes. I finished preaching last Sunday afternoon, and I don't know why this happened, but it seemed like my mind, when I got finished preaching Sunday evening, I just shut down. My mind shut down. I was so physically and mentally worn out, it just shut down, and I haven't been able to get started since. You've never experienced that, Don. I've never known you to experience that. But it's just shut down on me. So I hope the Lord gives us some grace this afternoon to look at a thought that I had. In Matthew chapter 11, this is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 25. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father but the Son. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to think with me just for a few minutes on verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come, ye heavy laden. What a wonderful and gracious invitation from the Son of God Himself, from the very lips of the Son of God, for us to come to Him. To come to Him with this promise that He tells us here. And I will give you rest. What a precious promise. Essential instructions. And what a precious promise of rest for our hearts, our souls, our spirits. Another place, He said, come unto me. Incline your ears, and your soul shall live. So there we have rest, and there we have life. Another place, He tells us to come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I tell you, there's benefits in coming to Christ, isn't there? Benefits. And He promises these things for all that come to Him and come to God by Him. Forgiveness of sins and life eternal and rest for our souls. And He promises it here. For those who are heavy laden, come unto me, ye heavy laden. But you know, one of the things I found out in my own experience, that it's the heavy laden that are so hesitant sometimes about coming. And it's them that often find reasons not to come. Their unworthiness and their apprehensions about being rejected. And I remember one time the Lord Jesus had made the Great Supper, the parable of the Great Supper, and sent His servants out and said, compel them to come in. And maybe that's what I want to do for just a few minutes this evening. And maybe this is not just for the lost people, but I tell you, I found out in my own experience, the message that's for lost people is for saved people. Anytime you talk about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's for saved people. That's for people who are still coming to Him, isn't it? There's four areas that I want to deal with just for a few minutes, and it regards the heavy laden coming to Him. The first one is this. There are those who truly say that they feel too repulsive to come to Him. They feel too sinful. They feel like they've committed too great a sins and too many a sins to come to God, even by Jesus Christ. I want to look at that just for a minute. And there are those, secondly, who are conscious of not knowing how to come. Have you ever talked to anybody about, why don't you come to Christ? I don't know how. And they've thought about that, and it's a burden to them. It's a burden to them. And thirdly, I want to look at others who are so disillusioned about religion and what they've experienced in their own life. They're just ready to throw up their hands and say, no, there's no use for me. I've tried all of that. But I want to speak to them. And lastly, I want to speak to those and speak of those who are burdened about the thought of thinking, well, my day of grace is over with. I've waited too late to come. So this is the four groups of people I want to deal with this evening. And the first one, for those who think that they're too sinful, too vile to come. Now, I know that we don't have much trouble. You don't talk to these people very often. I'm not coming here and saying there's multitudes that feel this way. We're living in a day of self-centeredness, self-love, and people thinking too highly of themselves. And nobody thinks they need Christ. You don't run into people that way, do you? Not as a whole. But sometimes, if you talk to people, you find out there are some who think inside themselves, and this is an awful burden to them, I have sinned too much against God. My sins are too many. They're too great. For years, we met at a nursing home, and I know this is one of the most blessed conversions that I've experienced outside of my own. We were there at the nursing home in one of our worship services, and I preached and left, and one of the ladies at church called me and said, there's a lady here that says she needs to speak to the preacher. And so I was home. I went back the next morning, and I looked her up. I've never in my life, Susan McDonald was her name, I've never in my life seen such despair in a woman's face. Her eyes were as red as they could be, and when she spoke, you hear it in her voice. And I said, you know, what's your problem? And she said, you don't know me. She said, you've got no way knowing what a vile sinner I am against God. She said, the sins that I've committed against Him, and she said, I'm afraid now to go to Him. I'm afraid to go to Him. I thought of every scripture that I could think of how Jesus Christ had satisfied the judgment of God on behalf of sinners. Every one I could think of how He pleased the Father, I quoted to that dear woman. And I said, God is so pleased with His Son and the work that He's accomplished on behalf of sinners. He will forgive all manner of sins and blasphemies. And I said, you go to Him and you tell Him how vile you are. Tell Him how you continued in sin against Him. We had another worship service and she wasn't there. I went home and the same lady called and she said that woman was coming down the hallway, got all tangled up in her oxygen cords, and she wants to talk to the preacher again. So I went back the next morning, Tuesday morning. I found her again. Everything had changed. I said, Susan, how you doing? And she said, the Lord has saved me. The Lord has saved me. And I said, well, you tell me about it. And she said, I went to Him and I told Him how vile I was. And she said, "He surprised me. He saved me." I seen her daughter at the funeral, and her daughter said this woman had lived in utter despair for years, afraid to come because of her sin against God. There are people that way. This is what the old prophet said they say. There's no hope. Now that's despair, isn't it? There is no hope for us, they said. Why? We've loved strangers. We've loved strangers. Well, turn from your love from those strangers. Turn to the Lord. Turn at His Word. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. But they said, no, there's no hope. We've loved strangers, so after them we'll go. We'll just continue on in our sins. There's no hope for us. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, He not only gives us places like this, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. But you know, He illustrates this time and time again in His Word, doesn't He? Let me give you an illustration. You talk about a vile person coming to the Lord Jesus. You remember in Mark chapter 1, a leper that came to Him. A man got up one morning and he noticed a spot on his arm, a little sore. And the next morning he thought, well, it spread a little bit. The next day it was spread a little bit more. So he said, I need to go to the priest. I need to get this checked out. And he went to the priest, and the priest examined him. And he put him in an inner room for a few days and looked at him. And finally he came to this conclusion. Man, you've got leprosy. You have got leprosy. That's the most dreaded word. You know, we get cancer today, but there's some hope. There's a cure for it. But there was no cure for leprosy. And he said, you've got it. You're doomed, man. You're doomed to an awful death. They wouldn't even let him go back home. They went and sent home and got him some bags of clothes and gave it to him. And a couple of guys led him on the outside of town. Said, don't you ever come back around anybody in this town. Don't you show yourself in the temple to worship. You stay out here with the other lepers or stay by yourself until you die or some miraculous way you're healed. And man, month after month, and finally it went all over his body. Finally he was full of leprosy. Finally, his fever was so high that he was out of his head. Finally, his nose rotted off, and all that was in his face was two holes. His ears rotted off. All his private parts rotted off. His skin became so full of boils, they would bust only to scab over and bust again. This was a vile human being. A man who stink. And you know what this man did? He heard that Jesus Christ was coming by. And he came to him. The Bible says he heard of Jesus of Nazareth and he came to him. Isn't that amazing? And there he stood, full of leprosy. And he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And one of the most amazing things happened. I think this is one of the most amazing things of anybody's conversion that the Lord Jesus ever did. You know what He did to that man full of leprosy? That stinking, vile man. He reached out His hand and touched him. Somebody said He did that to heal him. No. No, He wasn't healed until He said, be thou clean. But the Bible says He was full of compassion. He was moved by compassion. And he said, I will be thou clean. And immediately that man was clean. Isn't that amazing? That vile man. And I tell you what he did. He came contrary to the law. The law said, don't you show your face. If any clean person gets around you, cry, unclean, don't come near me. And don't you dare go near anybody. He took his life in his hands when he came to Christ, didn't he? They could have stoned him and killed that man. And you know what a sinner does? A vile, worthless sinner. When the devil tells him, you can't come to Christ, look at your sin. Look at your vileness. You just tell him this. When he tells you the law forbids you to come, just tell him Christ bids you. Christ bids me to come. I come at His word. When He says, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, that's my grounds for coming. I find no grounds in myself. I'm a vile person. But when He said, come to me, He included me in my vileness. The second illustration is concerning these fellows that don't know the way to come. I used to work in a steel mill, and man, it was rough in there. We were around some rough guys. They carried pistols to work with them. Shot at each other. It was amazing what a rough place it was. But sometime you would talk to one of those fellows, and when you got him off his step away from his friends, and I remember asking one of them one time, he's a rough fella, and I just went up to him, I said, won't you come to Christ? There's life in Jesus Christ. There's forgiveness for all your sins. Why don't you come to Him? He said, I don't know how to come to Christ. I don't know how to come to Christ. There's people like that, isn't there? You talk to people like that. I don't know how to come to Christ. And that's the burden of their hearts. They'll tell you, I've tried. I don't know how. Well, we've got a good illustration for that too in the Word of God. There was a man by the name of Bartimaeus. And the man sat by the highway side begging. And he was blind. That's bad enough to be blind, but I tell you, to be a blind beggar, that's the lowest of low, isn't it? Everything the man had to eat, he had to beg it. He didn't know where to get a glass of water unless he begged it. His clothes, his rags, they gave it to him. He was a beggar. Everybody avoided this man because all he did was beg. And he was blind. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. You remember it, doesn't he? He cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And that wonderful thing somebody said that happened that never happened before. Jesus stopped. Devils couldn't stop him. Raging sea couldn't stop him. But a poor, blind beggar who needed him stopped him in his tracks. When everybody else was saying, shut your mouth, you're worthless, man. You're just a beggar. Leave him alone. He's a busy man. Oh, he just kept crying, didn't he? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says he commanded him to be called. But here's the thing. How in the world is he going to get to him? He can't see him. Which way is he going? Tell him to come unto me. Lord, where are you? Where are you? I can't get there. There's people that way. There's people who are as blind spiritually as blind Bartimaeus was physically. And you talk to them about Jesus Christ and they don't know how to get there. Here's my advice to them. Do the very same thing this man did. Just start crying to him in your heart. Lord Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me. And I bet you, when you really do that, you see what happens is these people, they're heavy laden about these things, but you start talking to them and they don't even pray about it. It's amazing. They carry this awful burden, but they don't even pray and ask the Lord about it. And here would be my advice. Do the same thing this man. Begin to cry out to the Lord in your heart. Jesus, have mercy upon me. And I bet you it won't be long. Those people will have a sense of the Lord speaking to them and say, what do you want? What do you want? And then you can go ahead and answer it. Lord, I want to see. I want to see. That's our whole problem, isn't it? We're blind. We can't see. That's nothing unique to some people. That's unique to every one of us. We're blind by nature. We can't see. We're in darkness. We're in the kingdom of devils. That's where we're at. And we need to go just like David and pray, Lord, open my eyes. Don't you need that tonight? That's what I need. I pray that all the time. Lord, I was praying that sitting there this evening. And I pray that this, I went in and took me a nap this afternoon. I laid on my bed and this was my prayer. Lord, let me see your glory. I want to see your beauty. I'm so attracted by this world and the things and the cares. I want to see you. Open my eyes and let me see my sins washed away. I need a revival of that in my soul, don't you? Let me see myself complete in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Oh, I want to see that. I want to see that. People that don't know how to come to him just like this blind man came. Beggar, Jesus, thou son of David. And I tell you what happened. He opened his eyes, didn't he? And he can do the same thing for everybody else that comes to him, that cries out to him. He can open your eyes that you can see. And here was a man, one instant he couldn't see, and the next instant he did. And what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. A man that couldn't make one step in the right direction now was following the Savior wherever he went. Because the Savior opened his eyes. Here's something else. Here's another instant the Lord Jesus gives us about those who are delusioned. There was a lady. I don't know how this began. But a lady probably got up one afternoon, one evening, or some morning, and she noticed she'd begin to bleed. And she never thought much about it. The next day, she was still bleeding. And it got worse. And she got afraid. And she got weak. She couldn't stop bleeding. And she talked to some friends about it. They said, oh, we know a doctor that can fix you right up. He can fix you right up. He can stop that bleeding. So she went to see him. He said, oh, yeah, I can take care of you. I can stop this bleeding. It's a serious thing, but I can do it. He put her on some medication. A week later, she was bleeding just as bad as she ever was. And she was sicker. And she said, he didn't help me. He took some money from me, but he didn't help me. She got somebody else to recommend a doctor. She went to that doctor. Oh, yeah, I can help you. But he didn't help her either. She kept going to this doctor, kept going to that doctor. And finally, she had spent everything she had. She sold her buggy. She sold her house. Everything that she had, she spent it on these doctors. And here was the thing. She grew no better, but even got worse. For 12 long years. Can you imagine how delusioned she was? Can you imagine what she thought when somebody come up and said, oh, I know a doctor that I think could help you. Yeah, I've tried them all. I've tried them all, and I'm sick of hearing about them. I'm sick of doctors. They're no good for nothing but to take your money. Doctors and lawyers, they just take your money. And then when you can't pay them anymore, they say, sorry, we can't give you a reservation. We can't help you. 12 years. Can you imagine how delusional this woman was? I know people. I've got relatives that was raised in the same little community I was raised in. Free will to the core. And they left that community the same way I did. Delusion with religion. Delusion with self-salvation. Pulling you up to a mourner's bench. Beating your back and telling you to pray through. Telling you to stand up and take it by faith. And I have friends that won't have anything to do with religion at all today. Because they're sick of it. And when I talk to them, this is what I tell them. I'm sick of it too. I got sick of that when I lived there. I know fellas and got friends that used to be altar boys and Mormons and preachers. And weren't even converted. and they're delusioned with that. Don't want anything else to do with it. The burden of the heart, there's no help for me. I've tried it all. That's what this woman probably said in her heart. Until she heard about somebody that could really heal her. This is not your doctors of no value. This man can heal me. I've heard of what he's done already. This is the Son of David. This is the Son of God. He can do what nobody else can do. He can heal me. I don't know, boy. I don't know where this faith set up in her soul at. But I'm telling you what, it set up in her soul to the point that she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she pressed her way through the crowd and touched his garment, and immediately she stopped bleeding. And she said, I'm healed. I feel it. I like a salvation you can feel, don't you? I really do. I don't trust my feelings. I told Larry on one, we went golfing just and I told him, I think on one hole, I said, boy, I got a feeling I'm going to really do good on this. It was a mess. Trust your feelings. But she said, I feel that he's healed me. And the Lord said, who touched me? They said, Lord, everybody's touched. He said, somebody has really touched me. Somebody out of this crowd has really touched me. I felt virtue. I felt merit and power go out of me. Somebody has really touched me. And the Bible says she came trembling and told him all the truth. I wonder if she started naming names. She started, Lord, I went over to Dr. Freewill. And it cost me a lot. And I was in worse shape when I left that doctor. I went over to Dr. Sagesef and went over to Dr. System of Theology. None of them helped me, Lord. She started naming names. I bet some of you here tonight could name some names, couldn't you? She told him all the truth. And I never did, Lord. I never did find relief. I never was saved until you saved me. She didn't say, those fellows helped me some. I like them. I tell you, when the Lord saved me, brothers and sisters, I denied free willism altogether. My dad was a free will Baptist preacher. When the Lord saved me, I said, that's nothing. It's junk. It didn't help save me. It hindered me from coming to Christ. Religion can't save you, can it? All it can do is hurt you. Christ can save you. He can save you. Yeah, I'm delusioned with a lot of stuff. But I'm not delusioned with Christ. He's the real thing, isn't he? He's the real deal. Lastly, consider this. This shows us the Lord Jesus not only gives us this command and this invitation to come and have rest, but I tell you, he gives us some illustrations. And for those who think, boy, I've waited too late. There's no hope for me now. I've sinned and my day of grace is gone. There are people that think that. We was preaching in jail. We used to go to jail and preach. And I run into a fellow down there. And he lived with that awful burden that he had committed the unpardonable sin. He said, I'm gone. I know another man that way, a younger fella. No, he says, it's gone for me. It's over with for me. There's no hope for me now. No, they have. That had some of them in their early years, their conscience afflicted them with sin, and they felt they needed to seek the Lord, but they didn't, and they procrastinated, and now a few years things have settled down, and they've got afraid. Oh no, it's too late for me. It's too late for me. Come. I don't care how late you've waited. Are you still breathing? Then here's this wonderful command. Here's this wonderful invitation. Are you heavy laden about it all? Then come unto me. But I've waited so long. Come now. We've read about those two thieves on the cross, haven't we? got mixed up, started around probably with the wrong crowd, started stealing things, and got involved with all this crime, breaking into people's houses. And finally they caught him, brought him up before the judge, and they examined and brought the evidence against him, and they said, here's what you guys been doing. You're going to die for your crimes. And they took those two thieves and crucified them, one on the right hand of our Lord and one on the left hand of our Lord. And this man was dying. Before the day was over, he's going to be dead. And as far as he knew, in hell, as far as he knew, he was going to hell. Here's what he said. We're condemned. And we indeed justly. Not only has the law of the land condemned us, but we're condemned before God. And they're going to come around pretty soon and break our legs. That's what he said to this other thing. And we're going to die. Condemned. This man on the cross, he's done nothing. Boy, he was cursing Christ, wasn't he? And mocking him. If you're the Christ, save yourself, and something miraculously happened. We just don't know what, do we? Yeah, we know what. We know what. He said, Lord, I know you're not going to stay dead. I know you have a kingdom that your Father's given unto you. When you come into that kingdom, remember me. I bet you there's a lot of people went home that day and said, well, I don't know about that man on the middle cross. I really don't know. But those two thieves are in hell. Don't you imagine people went there and thought that? Those two thieves, man, they got what was coming to them. But one of them did, but the other one didn't. One of them got just what was coming to him, Larry. But the other one got something that he didn't deserve, he didn't expect. The Lord Jesus looked at him and said, today you shall be with me. Today that man ordained you to die, I have ordained you to live. Today you will be with me in heaven, in the Father's house, in paradise. Somebody said, boy, the Lord changed that man's destiny. No, he didn't. Nobody's destiny has ever changed. It's just revealed, isn't it? Every man's destiny is fixed. God has fixed every man's destiny, either to heaven or to hell. Either through Jesus Christ and redemption to heaven, or through his sins to hell. But it's fixed, isn't it? We only find out about it. And we find out about it when we come to Jesus Christ, the Lord, and he gives us rest. And you can't know your destiny until it's revealed. And the only one who can reveal it is the Son of God. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Don't you imagine there was a hush went over that crowd that day? Shh, listen. Little boy sitting on his daddy's shoulders. Son! And boy, you could hear it a pin drop. What's the quietness about? Something's going to be revealed here that cannot be known but by revelation. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Where he was cleansed or died in his leprosy was wholly determined by the will of the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? When you think your salvation is in the very hands of God, how does that make you feel? Do you rejoice? Is it the confidence of your heart that you're saved by the will of God? Isn't that wonderful? And that's what happened on the cross. Everybody thought this man perished. This man perished because of his sin. But he didn't. He didn't. Come to Christ. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you've done, who you are, how long you've been in sin. Come to Christ. There's where every question will be answered. There's where you'll see as you've never seen before. There's where you'll rest when you come to him. And you know something? lot of people have come. Heaven is populated with people that's come to Jesus Christ. There's much people there in heaven. But you know something? Everybody else is coming too. Everybody's coming to Jesus Christ. Those who are angry with Him, those who are incensed against Him, they're coming. Everybody's coming. Everybody's coming. Come now. Come now. Either laboring and heavy laden, come now. God bless His Word. God bless you, Pastor, as you go. Thank you.